You're listening to Around Comics, episode 207. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks.
So Tom can blow you off.
Yeah. Put you to work. If there's a con going on, we'll make you work.
You lift the table.
Set up these tables. The heaviest tables ever. Whatever was before steel. Or whatever the heaviest element before that.
Yeah, everyone shows like, couldn't you have rented plastic tables? They're like $4 more a day. Like, no. Staying wood. Hey there, folks. I'm Christopher Niesman, and joined alongside Mr. Tom Caters.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful, Tom. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. I haven't been here in a while.
It's a month. It's been a month.
It's been a month. It's been a month, I know.
I was
longer for Tom. He wasn't at the last recording.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's been like
six weeks since I've been on.
You were on assignment. You're saving the financial structure of the country.
Yeah, I was. It's all good now. It's all good.
We're good.
Don't worry.
Should I invest now?
Make him miss the spot.
Now's the time. Now's the time to invest heavily and with a lot of risk.
High risk.
Would be most likely. Now's the time.
It's like cool. It's like following a wood Twitter. Mr. Brian,
if it was a wood Twitter, I would have used like a bunch of phrases no one could understand,
and lots of capital letters.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go long. What's going on with Gorg? This extra cents stock.
He doesn't even use terms like stock.
No, it's something else. Future. Is he sell like pork bellies and stuff like that?
I have no idea.
Is he like one of those guys in Trading Places?
Orange juice.
He's big into orange juice.
That's how I learned what commodities was from Trading Places. Seriously.
And everything we learned is from movies, Mike. Come on.
Anything I know about the financial world.
Comic books or movies? That's all.
Check.
Mr. Brian Salazar, my co-promoter from
what's
the
up?
Windy City Comic Con.
What's going on?
I've seen you all week. I got nothing.
I'm just saying hi.
Huh? Saying hi.
You don't have to
pander.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
That was awkward.
Wow. Is this what the work environment's like for you guys?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So that's sad.
And our guest this week, first of all, our good buddy, DC exclusive artist.
You don't have to say that. I know how much you hate exclusive artists.
I don't hate exclusive artists.
He just thinks it's horrible for the industry.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the healthiest.
I'm a blight on the
fact that you signed a contract.
The fact that you have health care bothers him.
I'm happy for you. I don't know if it's the best thing for the long-term health of comics.
You know what, Chris? I don't even use the health care. That's how bad I am.
Chris thinks artists draw better when they're under constant threat of becoming very sick. Yeah, and that's like the best they can do.
Starving artists.
Well, Mike Norton, how you doing?
I'm good for a change.
Okay.
I'm doing okay.
Wow.
I'm smiling.
Yeah.
Freaked Tom out.
You scared me.
Happy.
Feeling good.
And Hank.
Hello. What's up?
Hi, Hank.
I got nothing going on.
Yeah, of course not.
We owe Hank a big thank you, along with some other folks' big thank yous, and that's everyone that came to the Windy City Comic Con. And Hank was one of our big time volunteers there, along with Brandon, who's milling around the shop tonight. So
hovering.
What was the final head count? Because that was a pretty amazing turnout.
We didn't do an official like. Ticket count, so we don't
an official
know.
Estimate
Maybe that
was
might be something you should do next time.
The thing is, we let in kids that were under 10, got in for free. So
you need one of those little clickers. You get them in Office Max. Come on.
Hey man, we were just trying to.
If we got over 300 people,
yeah, you were. Yeah, why would you need that? You're only expecting like 12 people to show up.
But what our official
just over 1,500. Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We were very. I know. I was thrilled and.
I was shocked.
I was being a little superstitious, too. I know I was telling you. It's just like, guys, watch your backs. Something's going to fall out of the sky on somebody.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we had our issues but throughout the day, but I think we adapted pretty well.
Gene Haw stabbed someone.
Well, there's no way to know that was going
to
happen.
We shouldn't have put him next to Seeley.
Yeah, that wild card Haw is what they call him. We didn't know.
Yes. You never know when he's going to snap.
But no, Sal and I have been talking about it. We were really happy with the
turnout. It was
turnout,
great. Absolutely phenomenal. I loved it.
Good. I was very thrilled for all of you guys. It was a very happy day.
Seemed like everybody had a good day and was successful. And yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And so next year,
Tom
bigger and better,
it.
Hopefully.
I had a great time.
Yeah. So look forward to.
Hank was only there half a day, but
yeah.
And got food poisoning.
He had to get in a limo and go to homecoming.
To do.
Well, he worked set up the day before. So
he had a John Hughes movie to live in.
Yeah.
But once again, thank you to everyone that came in.
Not even the normal ones.
No.
Weird Science, John Hughes movie?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I don't know. Wow. Was it?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Really? It was. I think you
fact
wrote
check.
It, yeah.
All right.
Did anyone tell John Hughes you can't just stuff photos into a disk drive?
Bring Barbie dolls to life?
I guess. Whatever. Well,
before we get too much further here, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free. Right now at InStockTrades.com, they are offering our book club selection, Tom B. Land's True Story, Swear
book
to God.
Book of the season.
Book of, yeah, but, yeah. Our fall book selection, True Story, Swear to God, Archive Volume 1 for a fantastic 47% off the cover price. Well, it's 17 issues, you know.
We swear to God that we'll review it.
It's you can pick it up for a minuscule $10.59 at InStockTrades.com. And I'm going to try and finish it up maybe here the
you
next time.
You haven't finished it yet?
I got a little bit left to go.
I'm going to have to reread it.
just
to stay fresh.
Yeah,
so next time we get together to record, we'll do
okay.
Well, that'll give me a goal to finish it up.
Word.
So. All right. So yeah, we haven't sat down together in well over a month since Tom was, a
lot of changes.
Was out gallivanting around the country. Yeah. I know they moved these trades over to this wall, yeah. And it's a lot less stock here. I think
was they talking
did well.
More about your face tattoo.
Oh, well, I told you I'm a big Superman fan
Windy
now.
Windy City Con tattoos. This can't be a mistake.
Nothing motivates you more.
Yeah, we got to make this work, or this face tattoo is going to be stupid.
We got to have it next year.
Now it's totally cool.
But, yeah, a ton of stuff has come out in the last month. It has a tendency of doing that.
Come out every week, man.
I know. Tom, you wanna lead us off with what you've been enjoying over the last month here, and I'm sure we're gonna just kind of roundtable a bunch of stuff that we've been.
Well,
reading.
I'll focus mainly on the last 2 weeks because I put everything else in a box and I wasn't gonna dig it up.
Into the vault.
Yeah, into the Cater's vault. I swim around in all my books like Scrooge McDuck. I smell like old newspaper when I get out. yeah, exactly. The first thing I want to talk about was Top 10 Season 2, Number 2, written by Xander Cannon, which is an awesome name.
Xander Cannon
yeah,
is a great
and,
name.
And drawn by Gene Haw.
Which is a pretty awesome name, too.
Yeah, awesome.
Windy
great.
City
awesome
Comic Con 2008 guest.
Alumni. Windy yeah. City alumni.
Yeah, Windy City Comic Con alumni.
If you're not familiar with the concept of Top 10, it was a book that was originally written by... Alan Moore and Xander Cannon, I believe, did the layouts, and Gene Haw did the art. And it's about a city entirely populated by superheroes, you know, your stereotypical superheroes.
Superpowers.
You know, superpower. Well, yeah. I mean, obvious, some of the characters are very obviously like Superman, or, you know, you see characters very familiar running around in the background. Yeah. And it focuses on the police department that's in charge of patrolling the city of superheroes. So it has a mix of sort of cop procedural with also complete superhero-like lunacy and humor. When they announced that they were going to do this without Alan Moore at first, I was a little bit concerned. Because a lot of the fun of the first series was the fact that there were so many Easter eggs hidden in all of the art. You know, mm-hmm. every single big spread had you know, you'd see someone who looks like Aquaman walking around in the background talking to Namor, or you would see there was all kinds of things going on in it. So I was like, well, I don't know if we're going to have that. And in the first issue, it was missing a little bit of that. It didn't have as many in-jokes sort of, like, spread out all over the place, so I was a little bit concerned. But this issue is one of the funniest issues of Top Ten, and it made me laugh out loud about 3 times while I was reading it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, 22-page comic.
In a 22-page comic. And the funny thing is, it isn't the in-jokes. It's Xander Cannon actually does a really great job of really funny wordplay and back and forth between the characters and setting up some really funny situations. You know, there's all these different storylines going on. One of them is that there's a mysterious old man who's selling magic words to kids on the street that gives them superpowers. You know, sort of like the Wizard Shazam. So a couple guys are trying to track this guy down, and they go to this one neighborhood, and there's like an old hippie guy who's a wizard, and they're like, "Are you using magic?" He's like, "No, man, I've been off it for 20 years." And then something falls out of his pocket, and they're like, "Is that a used scroll?" And he's like, "Oh, I just need to, you know, take the edge off." You know, another storyline involves around one of the female cops' husbands is crossover dressing. He's dressing like another superhero. So one of her coworkers gives him a pamphlet for something called Premise Keepers, which they have origin weekends where you go back and you, like, get back in touch with your real origin. And it's a lot of stuff like that. And it isn't just all whimsy, though, because there's also a real emotional quarter in that. In the last series, one of the characters, Lee, who is, like, this female, like, clone, but it was the first one, like, she was genetically created, right. She dies, and they replace her with another clone, and she wants everyone to treat her like she's just a replacement for the one that died, and no one can get their head around the fact that, you know,
She's back.
But and she wants everyone to call her, you know, call me Lee, and no one wants to, so she's isolated because she can't understand why everyone won't accept her, and everyone else is broken up as she's like one of their dead friends sort of walking around, but not really. So you have this really cool combination of really funny comic book trope humor mixed with emotional, like, cop drama type stuff in it, and it's fun.
What do you think about Gene Haw's big change in artistic style from the last Top Ten? I mean, it is a complete departure from what he used to do.
It's different. I think it's great because he is one of those artists that, even though he's a big name and people would love to see huge splash pages in this book, it's very restrained. In fact, there's a lot of panels and there's a lot of emotional scenes between people's faces, and it isn't just like splash page after splash page, you know, like
he's done that. I mean, there's some stuff that makes your eyes bleed, and
yeah,
and
it's
past Top Ten.
And exactly. And in this one, it's a little bit more reined in and a little bit, like, tighter as far as the storytelling is, like, faster pace, because they don't have all those in jokes. Mm-hmm. I think to fill in the
pages,
big pages, because if you ever read like an Alan Moore script, I'm sure what happened was Gene Haw. Alan Moore, I'm sure, described every single in-joke, like, in the background, and Gene Haw just
tried to drive.
I think there was one that he was showing me at a lunch thing one day. There was, like, this huge spread of the city. Just every tiny thing was drawn, and in the background were all of these vehicles. And he was pointing out that he had drawn all of these James Bond vehicles from past movies. And he was pointing them out.
Like that,
but it was like, where's Waldo? Because they were so small and so far off.
Those books, you can pore over them because there's so many little comic book jokes and like science fiction jokes like mixed in. This one's a little different. It doesn't have quite as much of that, but the more
it allows you
to
kind of focus on the story a little bit more too.
Yeah, it's a little
it's less dense. It's you know, there's a little more air to it, you can.
And that's probably because of Xander's writing more than it is Gene's conscious decision to
draw.
Like
I think
that,
it's
probably
just a different
does
type
it,
of story.
Does it feel like the Top Ten universe? That
yeah, it's the same characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Moore always did a good job. You know who all the characters are and you know their motivations, but there's more of a focus, I think, on having those characters interact and have that be the basis rather than it being sort of a vehicle to throw all the in-jokes on top of, even though there's very funny stuff like the Premise Keepers, which is, you know, it's a comic book, you know, for a comic book fan, would understand the joke.
Get
of that.
Get back in touch with
but
the origin.
I've been really impressed. It's not the same as the Alan Moore stuff, but it's funny and it's very good and it's.
Well, it sounds like it's not trying to be the Alan Moore stuff. What's that? I mean, you don't want to do that. You know?
No, but it's close enough that if you enjoyed the old stuff, you'll still enjoy this book. And it's 4 issues, I think. So it'll probably be coming out in trade.
With the older stuff, with the Alan Moore stuff, I've always wanted to go back and read that. Is it a miniseries or?
It's like a couple of.
It's two trades.
Yeah, two trades, and then there's the 49ers, which is like a graphic novel that they did that takes place in the past, which is a little bit more serious than the series is. But top 10's become mostly because of Alan Moore, and of course Gene Haw's done so much of the art. It's a real brand of like quality, you know. Whenever I see like a top 10 thing, I always think, ah, you know, that's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah.
And they've done a really good job of continuing that on without Alan Moore. So
I was like, yeah, you know, I was like a little concerned about, you know, what it was it going to be without Alan Moore doing it. And I read the first issue; I haven't read the second one yet, but I really enjoyed, you know, sort of how they went at it, you know, very almost typical cop drama way of like, okay, we're going to throw something, you know, a monkey wrench into the precinct and change the rules and because you have these very established characters and what they are and what they do in this whole cop house, you know, how it works. And then in the first issue, they sort of are, you know, messing with everybody by bringing in this character to sort of straighten them all out.
Yeah,
and
they all have to wear the same uniform now. And they can't. The first part that made me laugh really loud is they can't use guns really anymore. Right. They're not supposed to use violence. So the guy who's in charge of all the weapons is like, what am I supposed to use, fairy dust? And the captain's like, listen, you know fairy dust is illegal and you can't use it. And it's a lot of stuff like that. It's
Top Ten's also, not only is it a world of super-powered beings, but it's also multidimensional, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's different universes
that interconnect with it. And so you can get all sorts of weirdness, especially in that first series. I mean, there was just...
Well,
Smacks, one of the characters,
had a really good miniseries featuring him back on his world where he came from. So it's limitless on the number of things they can
now,
drag into
that,
the series.
That comes out under the America's Best Comics.
Yep.
I was under the impression that they had done away with that imprint that had moved
this
to
is
Wildstorm.
The only thing really
that's come out in a long
it.
Time. Yeah. But even the last
Tom Strong.
Well, Tom Strong was, but the last Absolute League came out under that imprint. But is that owned by Wildstorm, which is
part of Wildstorm,
which is in turn owned by DC?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I believe America's Best is still the brand is still at least partially owned by Alan Moore.
Okay. Yeah, that was his imprint.
Then
he created it under Wildstorm before DC owned Wildstorm.
Which led to some problems because
and then
he sort of
Jim
got
Lee,
backed into that. Yeah.
Jim Lee said, "Oh, I won't. Don't worry."
Yeah,
and he had already ended his relationship.
But I hate those guys.
What?
But he to his credit, he fulfilled everything that he promised to do under.
Was that the whole V? Was that the V for Vendetta fallout? What that kind of led to a lot of that.
May have been before that.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, it was before that.
Them for a while.
Long time.
This was before the movie stuff, I think.
Yeah.
No. I'm talking about the contract for V for Vendetta, the trade, which was, I think, a lot of the...
Maybe.
Yeah,
it might have been Watchmen. It might have been before V.
Can't we just, now that Barack Obama's president, can't Alan Moore in D.C. just get over
Hatch
their partisanship
mend some fences.
And just, like... Let's move on.
I think Alan's
together.
Pretty happy over at Top Shelf.
I think he is.
And I think Top Shelf is very happy.
Very happy.
Happy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm absolutely. Looking for the magic baby bumper upside
we'll
down.
That thing could be really messed up.
It could be crazy. Yeah, it could be really out there.
Where else does
the only person that can read it and understand it is Grant Morris.
This is so tame.
What else did I see? He was
doing some Avatar stuff.
Too. Yeah, yeah. So
Avatar. What Avatar's? I mean, you got Warren Ellis and Grant Morrison and Garth Ennis and, and all those guys are doing Avatar stuff now. And
yeah, one of the other books I would talk about later is an Avatar book, a Warren Ellis book.
I picked.
Yeah. Freak Angel.
Jeez.
He's got more stuff coming out of Avatar than he does anywhere else.
And
this is a good segue.
They let him do whatever he wants.
I tell you what's up. Let's talk about Freak Angels, which I have not read.
This is the webcomic, right?
Started out as a webcomic. I think it is going to be...
I'm interested in this because being somebody that hasn't done his own stuff in a while, I'm interested in the publishing models.
This could be an amazing... test case for putting out a comic for free on the internet in single issue form, and not even single issue form. A page a week or something, and then at the conclusion or whenever you have enough to put out a trade, you trade it. And I made sure to go out and pick it up the first day because I think that is a fantastic model for especially smaller publishers. I think it's a great business model.
I think it kind of follows the Radiohead thing of you know, Radiohead can get away with it, Warren Ellis can get away with it, but somebody that
that's
doesn't.
That's my first initial reaction. What makes you say that it's a great model without any kind of data yet to back it up? I'm not calling you out. I'm just honestly what.
No,
do you
no,
think
that,
right?
and
he hasn't thought that. He hadn't thought it out that well, Mike.
Well, no, I'm genuinely curious.
That is an absolutely valid point. Okay, and
the microphone. What,
great model? Maybe you should define great model.
Okay,
financially or
great model. For me, the level of comic book fan that I am, and I am not the typical comic book fan that
you are a super nerd.
I'm a super nerd, and I feel like I know a lot of the stuff that's going on and is out there, but still I would love to be able to try things out in a digital format to see what I think about them. And this, I had read a few of the releases of Freak Angels.
You read some of it online.
Read some of it at the very beginning, and because
it's good,
I was intrigued by it.
Nice looking,
and I was like, you know what, they're going to put this out as a trade, and then I'm going to go out and buy it. If this had, you know, there was some other stuff that came out from Avatar that is Warren Ellis stuff, but I was much more intrigued by this because I had kind of a taste of it online.
Got a little bit of it in your blood.
So you didn't read all of it, you just read a little bit of it, and that was enough for you to say, yeah, I'll get this.
I will pick it up and trade. Yeah.
So it's the equivalent of, like, because I think we've all done this where we pick up a comic and say, yeah, just buy that trade or something like that.
Yeah, I did it this week with the Spider-Man, X-Men.
I could see
thing.
That.
Yeah.
But did you check it out because you heard it was online that was going to go to trade, or because you heard it was Warren Ellis?
Well, I heard about it from Warren Ellis because I subscribed to the to the Bad Signal.
The Daily Blast of Warren Ellis. Yeah.
So it is on
anger.
It is kind of a little bit of that Radiohead thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I think in this case, certainly. I mean, it would be interesting. But at
that's
the same
not to
time,
say that it couldn't work for everybody.
Well, at the same time, you have
these guys
like,
aren't doing it first.
You know, PvP, which.
Well, those guys, the guys like that.
They built a very big readership
and those,
first.
Yeah, well, the webcomic guys that are successful, I mean, they are the models. Well, it's almost kind of like the Robert Kirkman thing, you know? It's just like, guy did it, so.
And speaking of name recognition, I'll throw this out there. What if Oni had put out the Tech Jansen stuff digitally and then packaged it as a trade?
I wonder if it would have made a difference.
I wonder if just putting it out would have made a difference. Well, it comes out so infrequently.
Well, there was a big problem with the writer's strike.
Yeah.
That was a big... I mean, because I don't know if Tech Jansen is a good example because it's kind of a novelty comic.
Yeah.
A lot of your sales are going to come from people going, Steve Colbert. They're just buying it because they really like Steve. They're not. Some of these guys probably aren't even reading it.
Mm-hmm. But how about something like 100 Bullets? You know,
this is what I'm saying. Something like that, I could see.
Man,
picking
imagine
up.
How. Imagine reading that a page a week.
Holy crap!
I can't read that. That would be the thing that would make you say, "Hell, I read the trades." And I stop reading the trades because I'm like, I'll wait till the whole thing's done
then
and then read it all together.
It becomes a question of how much is enough to convince someone to buy the book? Is it a page? Like, if you just pull a page out of the story.
That's what I'm curious about because, I mean, there's a project that I'm working on right now that I want to do, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of what is the smartest way of putting it out.
Well, for you, I think... I mean, you have enough name recognition.
Well, I don't know
especially
if that's necessarily
online.
True.
Well, on the,
and it's a big question because that really is a big leap of faith to just to put it out there and then say, well, I'm going to collect it later. But, you know,
I think there's
been
enough
successful
stories of it, and especially someone that's established already in the industry and
but the stuff
has name recognition that you do.
Yeah.
But to get back to the book.
Is the book good?
The artwork looks fantastic.
I read basically the first issue of it last night and really liked it. Liked the premise of it a lot.
An Adrian Alfona kind of look to it.
It's a near future kind of kind of has a near post apocalyptic setting where six people that were born all at the same time may or may not have certain powers and there's conspiracy stuff.
Why are you being so obtuse?
Because I got right. And there's
they may or may not have power.
Listen,
they may.
You know what? I want someone to write a great pre-apocalyptic book.
How about
imminent? I'm not big on I have like a whole list of things that I won't read in comics anymore.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic stories.
Yeah, it's kind of like DMZ meets Heroes. I guess would be an odd mashup.
We're all looking at each other.
This is like 15 pages in, so it may be completely different.
One of the first things that I notice about it is the format, like the way that it's laid out. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that everything is half and half because that's the way I'm assuming it's going to be presented online.
Sure.
It kind of limits your page layouts, I would assume. That was one of the other things I was thinking about when you were talking about this being online. That's kind of interesting.
I think ultimately it comes down to if something's good, people will find it it will be successful.
Well, being online is obviously, accessibility is huge these days.
Well, we had talked about the Windy City Comic Con a little bit earlier, and that was one of the things that kind of freaked us out or surprised us was a tremendous amount of the traffic that went to our site and people that came to the show came there because of the webcomic seminar. And the people
that's interesting.
Probably one of the.
Did they even have it? I heard that they were shutting down some of the panels.
We had to move it to a different room.
Okay. I think overall, in the 2 months that we had the website up and running, up until the day of the show, the most traffic from any one source was from one of the webcomic guys' homepage that he just posted on his blog, basically saying, I'm going to be at the Windy City.
Who was doing that panel?
I only remember.
I only saw the one. I saw Scotty as I was leaving, and I came back, and Scotty was still talking.
About music.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was talking. He was talking about everything but comics.
He doesn't want to give anyone real hints. No real hints on how to get into the industry.
Well, I wouldn't give you hints if I was doing one. I don't want you to get into business.
I wouldn't
need
them.
Well, I talked about this a long time ago with Dave Wachter. Wachter. Yeah, it is. But I called him Wachter then.
Wachter.
I used to call him. Anyway.
Mm. I'm going
to
call him Wachter.
But think of it this way. Okay, if you say you self-publish a book or you put it through Image or, one of the places where you're self-publishing it, and you get it distributed in a comic book shops, what's the high-end number you think you may hit with a published book?
No, that is my first reason for even looking at going online, just because, for one thing, it's immediate. I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I get it done, I put it out there, I get immediate reaction to it. I don't have to worry about the investment or having to even deal with publishers at that point. Publishers are much, especially these days, much more interested in you coming to them with this huge volume of work that they can put into a trade that they know is going to sell rather than a monthly that they're going to have to worry about meeting certain amounts in order for them to even think about putting out a trade.
I think it's certainly as viable as self-publishing, maybe more so. I mean, there's a lot of benefits.
I'm very interested in it. That's why I asked the questions. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you should ask Warren Ellis on Twitter.
I got his email. I'll email him. I don't know if he'll say fuck off. Or
Obama's president.
Yank.
Everybody's changed.
Anything can happen.
He likes us a lot more now.
It's like, you're an American. You may not be a jackass.
You may not be a complete idiot, after all. But I got the same. Found out about Freak Angels. I think I went and looked at it a couple of times, but it was more.
That's another question I'd be interested in finding out the data behind is how many people actually followed it or did what you did, checked out a couple of ones and then said, I'm going
to
buy it.
What if you went, like, the day there was a major reveal to the story? And then like
see,
you read
that's what
spoiler.
Yeah.
And then you like you read the trade and you're like, oh.
If you're like me and you have absolutely no retention value,
I'm just gonna point to the bottle of Jim Beam.
Talking about politics, which is probably a good time to switch
segue.
Over to
Mr. Tarot.
I picked
tarot.
Tarot, yes.
Wow,
the
political,
political issue. Yeah.
We went to Borders. This
yeah,
week.
I went to Borders, and
this
I have
voting
to be
booth
in
so
the
hot.
in the last this last year, I've become a political junkie and realized how much I don't know about our country and the political system. And
seriously?
Kind of
I would think that you would know everything.
Yeah. No, because I always...
He's never wanted to write a book about it. That's
no,
all.
No. No, I just never... I was probably maybe a little more versed in it than the average person, but...
You're like Neo in the Matrix. When you're interested in something, you just down
yeah.
it. All of a sudden, I know everything about this now.
I want to fly that helicopter.
Yeah. Hey man, I wish that was the case, that I could just jack into a computer. But anyway, so I was at the bookstore, and I was in the politics section looking for. I think I was. Oh, what did I ended up buying? Barack's.
The Lyndon LaRouche
Audacity
book.
Of Hope.
Van
Desperate.
No. I think the funniest moment was whenever he shows me. He lifts up this book and it's Politics for Dummies, and then like 2 minutes later he's like, I don't think I'm this much of a dummy.
A boat. I would when you write down what you want.
but they did have in the same section this book that I did grab. It's the United States Constitution graphic adaptation. Written by Jonathan Hennessy and art by Aaron McConnell. It's put out by Hill and Wang Books.
Wang.
And it's
written by Warren Ellis.
It's a smaller graphic novel. It's it's not the size
Constitution
of a
is suck.
Regular regular floppy or anything. It's I don't know. It's a little
so
shorter.
It's a graphic adaptation of the Constitution?
Yeah, and it's basically...
I could use that.
It's really good. I mean,
yeah,
it's actually it's
like understanding Constitution.
It's yeah, from the very beginning of how the Constitution was formed, and then it gets into detail more so about why things were done the way they were and how it sort of affects us now. And it takes you all the way up to I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know exactly where it ends, but I think it ends at oh geez, let me flip through here.
It's one of those things everyone should read, probably.
Yeah, well, you know what?
So.
It's a great little.
It should be
I mean,
in
this
schools,
is a perfect
huh?
little educational
yeah.
piece because it's funny and fun to read. The art's pretty good in it.
The art is pretty good.
I wonder
good.
If that is like in schools.
I would hope so. That at least I think it just came out. So, but I hope it is getting.
I would have
in
been
it.
A
teacher,
kid, probably.
If you're a teacher and you're listening,
it's
a.
You need to shut up.
It's a perfect little learning tool for learning, you know, a little more detail about the Constitution and
uh-huh.
how it
works
and how
yeah.
the government works and which
That's
is
cool.
what I've been really interested in learning myself and I've just really enjoyed it so far. It's been fun to read and so I was always I always hated history in school when I was younger.
Really?
And yeah, I just never enjoyed history, and now
I would
I'm,
think that you would that would
yeah.
have been one of your favorite things.
No,
I have a history,
and I had a great history teacher.
What did
too.
You like in high school?
English,
chicks,
beer.
Sorry,
no,
smoking.
No. I liked art.
I wrecked shop.
Art
I majored in wrecking shop.
Not, I didn't like school at all. Really, yeah, I didn't enjoy school.
Great.
But I become a really
Danzig.
Big, I wouldn't say I'm like a real. I did like Danzig.
I have a feeling that you were the type of person in school that got bored easily.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, I didn't have a good time in school. I didn't.
Freaks and geeks.
Actually, you're
I was not into the whole.
His new.
I would stay home from school and read, and because I just didn't like. Being force-fed yeah. stuff that I didn't think was very
his new political activism. I'm actually I'm inspired by this. Tell him what you did earlier
Jesus.
This week.
I went to a local my village of Villa Park had
a jousting company.
Yes, yes, and I went and I am now
the mayor.
I challenged the mayor to a fight.
She's
like 64 years old and it wasn't much of a fight.
So it was easy. So now you're the mayor.
No, no. They. Over the last since June, they've been putting together a plan for redevelopment in Villa Park, and I happened to find out about it, and they were having this community gathering about ideas for redeveloping sections of Villa Park, because they're trying to make it much more like a lot of the surrounding suburbs, where like this cool downtown area and Villa Park.
Cool, I'll move tomorrow. Let's go.
So I went to the and spent like 3 hours and just going.
It's basically
my God.
Like a city council
meeting. Yeah, a city council meeting kind of thing. And
that
God,
sounds boring.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, local politics, like small suburban local politics, is the worst goddamn.
Did you stand up? Did you stand up at one point and say, "I demand to know the truth"?
No, I did not. You know, it's funny because I went there specifically, and I was like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to, you know, get involved. This is my first one, really. I'm just going to go and listen and see what this is all about.
How many punches?
And then I'm like, on the way out, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to look into a bigger scale. I think I'm going to have to go to DuPage County meetings or something. I'm going to have to get involved in
he tells me, it's, you know, we're at work, and he's like, for this to work, I may just have to run this shit.
Yeah, well,
then you might be in
for what to work. You haven't even told me what the hell this is all about. Why were you doing this?
Windy City Comic Con is going to be
just get involved.
County
I don't know.
Okay. I thought there was like some kind of plan about this.
No. I mean, all
you just that was
I just
part
went
of the research.
To, I honestly just went because I have become more interested in politics, and I figured start with local politics and I don't know. It's just part of my obsession.
Hey, man, we just saw a Chicagoan who was a community organizer.
Yeah, I cannot deny the fact that the
thing comes back to Barack.
Well, I'm not
this
joking.
What I got to look forward to for the next. Four
yeah,
now.
Pretty
yeah.
much.
Just like
eight. No, it's like,
no, I'm all for that. I'm just like 12.
No, I can't deny that this has all been kicked off because of Barack Obama and this election.
Yeah.
And my interest in
it
politics.
It doesn't matter how it's voted.
Sort of,
I was just interested in
but,
your being interested.
Yeah, local politics is awesome.
I'm sure there is a motion to find out where they were ordering lunch from.
Oh, it was just it was worse than that, because it wasn't even it was like an unorganized gathering of the council and like the developers
like
and then like 40 village residents.
Did they look at you weird when you walked in, like,
who's that
a little
guy?
Bit. There was like this older woman that
not wearing a Shriner's hat.
Why aren't you wearing?
There were actually
sash?
Surprisingly enough, the majority of the people there were younger.
Really,
I was surprised at that.
Well, they're probably all like you.
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
They're like, I gotta get to the bottom of what these old guys are doing.
Yeah.
Everyone just got all fired up. My town. You should do a graphic adaptation of your village charter.
That could be a daily webcomic.
Every fortnight, there shall be a slaughtering of a calf. When did we stop the slaughtering of the calf? It's supposed to be every 2 weeks.
Out,
I've never seen it.
I did find out, like, it's Villa Park is where I live, but it was originally called Ardmore, and then they changed it to Villa Park, and
sounds
I want to
like
know
something out of fucking
what the hell is going
on. Ardmore.
It's like, what's that place down south, Midlothian?
Midlothian, yeah.
I drove through there, and I was like, oh.
Well, how far south are you talking?
I'm not from here. I don't know where the hell I am. If I hit Midlothian, I'm thinking I'm going to see hobbits and shit.
I was lost in the Midlothian mist.
Yeah.
Because I'm from down south, and I ain't down
well,
south.
You're not, yeah, you're from, yeah. Like, I'm talking about, like, South City.
Oh, okay.
Luckily, this was all after my 9-hour binge at the greatest bar in the world.
Oh, yeah. So you went to...
No.
Wait a minute. You went to, like, a political thing
I'm
after you've been
now.
Drinking for 8 hours?
No.
If anybody...
Warm up.
It was a different day.
Let's vote on something.
I think we're all officially on Twitter now. Mm-hmm. And last Saturday, Sal Twittered. Started at about, like, noon.
Well, okay, here's the story. Me and my cousin, I may have mentioned before, trying to start this business, but we were going to Home Depot to get some stuff that we needed. And
look on Tom's face.
Well, no, that's only one.
A lot of people.
We were going to go okay, we needed
Bar
some
Lounging stuff. Incorporated.
No. We needed to get some valves for something, for a bottling station. Anyway.
What are they building? It's like Steel Grip Starkey.
On the way there, I happen to notice that, hey, when you start a small business, you got to build shit. No, you can't just buy everything.
Okay. Ultimate power.
I noticed that there's a new bar on Butterfield Road.
Maybe they have valves.
And I'm like, oh, that's a cool bar. So we go to Home Depot, and then on the way out, I'm like, hey, I'm kind of hungry. You hungry? Want to stop, get a burger, grab a beer, check this place out. we go in there, and it's like,
and it is the greatest bar
and
ever.
And it was phenomenal. We walk in, and you know, it's huge place, and very attractive waitress opens the door for us, and she's like, "You guys want to? Where do you want to sit? Would you like to eat?" We're like, "Yeah, we're gonna eat."
Put your bag of valves in the back.
She's like,
"I have to check your bag of valves."
So we're looking around, like, "Well, where do we want to sit at the bar? Do we want to sit at the table?" And she's like, "Would you like to sit in the recliner section?" And we're like, "Huh? What recliner section?"
What? The champagne room.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
no. You liar.
So she tells us to go around the one side of the bar, and there's this big section with like 12 leather recliners, and giant
cup holders,
you know, cup holders in the recliners, and big flat screen TVs right in front of you. It's like four chairs and a flat screen, and we were at that point, it was like, oh my god. So we were, honest to god, we had work to do, and we were only planning to stay there for about, you know, an hour, have lunch and leave. That was 12:30, and we finally left at about midnight. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, the best part is whenever the tribune, the tribune.
Oh yeah, that was. So we're there for, I don't know, maybe 6 hours at this point. Pretty hammered.
I
already
had. Happened to me more than I wanted.
This place has Miller High Life 40 ounces served in a champagne bucket with ice.
Yeah, I saw your pictures.
They have PBRs in paper bags. They serve you. Beer bongs. You can have 50.
But the place
50
is
or,
classy.
Oh, the place
looking.
Is real, yeah. Really nice joint. Brand new. It's very nice. You can have either a 50 or a 100-ounce beer bong of your type of whatever
the
draft.
The class immediately drops the second someone reverse drinks that beer bong and vomits.
Well, I don't think
I don't care how nice your recliner is when an adult man vomits after drinking a beer bong.
I don't think this is the college style beer bong with the funnel. This is a big
a big plastic.
I'll bring my own. But it's just I bring my own. Will they fill it?
So at some point in the afternoon, we were actually thinking about leaving, and then all of a sudden, a photographer, I guess from the Tribune, shows up to take pictures of the place. They're doing a story on it because the place just opened, come to us and want to take pictures of us. We're like, sure, but the payoff of that was they start bringing us all the food on the menu and like
no
beer
way.
and because they wanted it in the pictures. We didn't order any of it. So then it was
awesome.
Well, we
ooh,
can't
potato
go anywhere.
Boats.
It was a great bar.
Yeah,
it was
like,
I don't even like college football. I
watch
college
football. Well, now you can't go back, though, because everybody's going to know about it because it's in the freaking paper.
I don't know. Well, hey.
It was just
that magic moment.
It was just the funniness of watching you. As I saw
Twitter.
Oh, that looks like, it's like 9 fucking hours later. He's still there.
It's like he had found Shangri-La.
All right, Mr. Norton, what have you been reading these days, or what have you been working on? We haven't talked to you in a little while.
I'm working on Green Arrow and Trinity. Again.
Okay, still on the Trinity?
Always drawing.
Trinity's been going good. I like it a lot.
I'm glad you like it. I either get I really like it or I'm not reading it. I never get I hate it.
I think people felt burned by Countdown a little bit.
I'm sure that's what it is, but then there are a lot of people that said, well, I got the first couple issues and just decided not to buy it. And I can see why, because the first couple issues, there's not seems like your regular old comic
that's
book. But the first third of the series is just a solid DC superhero book. Then it turns into Kurt Busiek's crazy
parallel universe.
Yeah, the stuff
shit
that he does, and it's
I'm
really
buying
good.
It. I'm not reading it. I'm waiting for one of the first like Chicago Snow, and I'm gonna.
It's really good.
It's a good. Yeah. It is a good book, and
I enjoy what I
it's
read.
It's the first one of the weeklies, and I loved 52.
I loved 52. Also.
First one of the difference, though, is 52 almost ended up sort of being like a happy accident where, like, there's so many people working on it.
It really was.
And Trinity seems so completely, like, Busiek knows exactly.
He has it planned out to the T. And that's actually, if there's any problems with the book, it's that he holds up stuff sometimes. I mean, we're still on schedule, but he's planned it out. He's writing it, and he's plotting it out. Bagley laps everybody. He catches up to Kurt all the time, where he's just like, oh, I need pages.
I got nothing to do.
But it's a good book. It's a really good book. I honestly haven't read all of it because I get every fifth backup script. Yeah, right. So I'm constantly confused because I get it and I'm like, who the hell are all these people? Especially since the parallel universe thing happened. I'm just like, who's this guy?
It makes sense. It does make sense. Yeah, so, it makes a lot of sense, actually.
I was a little confused by it because I wasn't sure what it was at first. Yeah. I knew that it was going to be the next weekly book, but I wasn't sure if it was like a continuation of 52.
It's
going to
be awesome.
It is. It takes place outside of current continuity, yet I hear it's tying into certain things like Final Crisis.
It's still not even halfway through, so I bet that'll...
It is? Well, it's not halfway through, but we're halfway through.
You're halfway, yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting. We're like 2 months ahead.
I mean, it could easily take place. I mean, most of the story at this point is... It's like a alternative universe, like an alternate universe type of story.
It really is about how important Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are to the DC universe, and how you don't really understand that until they're gone.
Okay.
And right now we're in the middle of
what happens
when they're gone. So.
Do you think DC will do another? Do you think this is the last weekly for a while?
No. It won't be.
I think they'll do another one.
I think they will be. I don't have any inside information. I just hear stuff, and I would think that they're going to have to reevaluate how they do it. Yeah. But I think they do have plans. I think Marvel still has plans for weekly stuff too.
Spider-Man's still doing
it. Well, that was some of our speculation on 11 o'clock this week, just kind of bouncing shit around, was coming out of like RIP.
Pulling shit out of your ass.
it was total ass pulling stuff, but that's what 11 o'clock is, and that's why we have fun with it.
We love it.
Yeah, but we know it, and we approached it from a speculation standpoint. But you know, it'd be neat for DC to come out of RIP and do Batman Weekly, and because
I heard that on your show. Were you talking about doing like a detective comics where they do an anthology?
That
would be great. They did that in Action back in the 80s, I don't think people were ready for it.
Yeah.
And I think the people are ready for anthologies now.
But you look, they announced the cancellation or conclusion of Nightwing, Robin and Birds of Prey. Right.
But that was planned.
Sure it was. But, you know, doesn't it kind of open up the door for doing...
Sort of, but they already... I mean, it would...
They're not going to trend the Bat Family that much.
Yeah, if those things were canceled and nothing happened... Then I would say but they already have plans for what's going to go in those slots.
Okay. Well, I think with the whole weekly thing, I think Trinity right now, I think a lot of people look back and get Trinity in trade and realize how good it was while it was coming back, because I don't hear a lot of people like complain about it. Like either they don't read it or
they either don't read it or they really like it. That's like what I'm saying.
I've been hearing it's getting better and better.
It is getting better.
I mean, that's what I keep hearing.
I mean, it's going to be one of those books that like 52. 52 wasn't mind blowing.
Took a while.
But when you're done with it, you're like, wow, that was a really
good story.
Good experiment.
Love 52.
That for me, who's
but
not.
But it took a while for it to get going.
I mean, I'm not an old school DC hat like Tom is, and it was. DC hat.
That's true. I wrote a lot of Justice League Europe issues right before it got canceled.
Hat, not hat. Sorry, but for me, that was a very fulfilling introduction to a lot of the non-A-list DC characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Trinity seems to be really a great place to learn about
I think if you want to talk about... If you put this up with... And I'm not bragging because I have a very small part of Trinity. If you put it up against... the big events that are going on, I think it stacks up, especially when you talk about hype versus delivery.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm.
I think Trinity might actually come out ahead because there's absolutely no hype to it.
Well, I think next episode we may talk about a couple of the other mini events that are going on.
The events that are happening in the books
new Krypton.
are the events.
Yeah.
Those are the things that are worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
They're the awesome shit, and that's the way that it was the way it used to be in like the 80s and stuff. That's the way it probably should be. I mean, before they realized that, hey, we make a lot of money off of these crossovers. Sure. That's the only reason crossovers are made. It's not because they have a great story to tell. Everybody knows this, and if
you
don't,
mean?
You're dumb. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
Well, I think we've got a good segue point here because If this is what Hank wants to talk about, it actually crosses over one of the...
Read that right now, though.
As he's been sitting here in the store. You didn't pay for that, did you?
I think this is interesting because it crosses over one of the major mega events and one of the nice mini events that we've had.
It's got the Final Crisis... It's got the Final Crisis banner on it, but it's really just a continuation of the Sinestro Corps War.
Yes, and that is Rage of the Red Lantern.
Yes, and it's basically...
It looks gross.
It is gross. There's lots of blood.
Yes.
And it's the origin of the Red Lanterns with Atrocitus, who was the alien that...
I think so.
Who Abin Sur was taking to
From
Earth.
Way back in an Alan... From that Alan Moore story
about... Oh, he's the prisoner.
Really? The one that convinces Abin Sur that he should be scared.
How does Geoff Johns keep up with this stuff?
He's Geoff Johns.
He sits at home and just probably reads.
That guy is a maniac.
Golden Bronze Age DC... Well, and he told the story. If you had been reading the Green Lantern, the last five issues,
seven issues were the Secret Origin,
and it starts out with Abin Sur capturing Atrocitus.
He and Mark Waid and like Kurt Busiek must have like the Total Recall Club or something. They remember everything that's ever happened in comics.
Tom should be part of that club.
I can't write, though. Well, I just remember all
they'd
of it.
They'd let you in. Be like their research member.
I always wanted to be that guy. There was that guy who had that job when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths that he had to go back and read all the old DC books.
Oh, yeah.
To catalog all the characters and, like, he just made a list of, characters
everything.
And, like, where they were. And his entire job was just reading every old DC comic. And I was like... I not around at that time? And why was I not allowed to do this job where I just sat around and... Because I'm already...
He did hang himself after that, though.
He got a job at Marvel immediately afterwards. I remember the guy's name. But his job was to go through for Marv Wolfman and just, like, note every... Because when you read Crisis on Infinite Earths, like, all the detectives and everyone in the background, they're all
characters. Well, there's that
footnote
thing. Didn't they do a whole footnote thing on every character?
Yeah. And the Absolute and with the...
Yeah.
Chronicling all of the different Earths.
Anyway, back to Hank.
Back to Hank's
book.
Sorry, Hank. Didn't mean
Hank was starting to get a little pissed.
Yeah. He's not getting his airtime.
It's around my book, bitch.
He's going to start vomiting blood.
I told my girlfriend I was going to be on the radio.
I would never tell that. I wouldn't brag about
this.
Does
she know you
recount? Ooh, when we're done can I tell a story about your girlfriend? Not a bad one at all.
You know stories about his girlfriend?
Well, sort of. We'll get to that.
What?
No,
I'm a little curious myself.
No, it's not a bad... You know the story. Don't worry. You go ahead.
Okay, so the book is basically the execution of Sinestro, and they take him to his execution, and then all of a sudden...
Back on his home planet, they extradite him to... what the hell's the name of his planet?
Korrigar.
Yeah.
Ooh, nerd hat on me.
Yeah, very nice.
And I don't want to give anything away, but it takes a left turn.
A little bit.
There's another group that would like to get their hands on Sinestro. So it becomes...
Yes.
They may be red.
Yeah, and they may be red. And you
Lanterns.
See a lot of Hal Jordan having to struggle with the idea of executing Sinestro since Geoff Johns just... Well, it's always been sort of... They've had stories where it explains the fact that Sinestro and Hal Jordan were friends at one point, but then the last big arc in Green Lantern emphasized the fact that Sinestro
can't
and Hal Jordan...
Can't wait for the hardcover to come out.
Were good friends at one point, and he's torn about the fact that Sinestro is going to be executed.
Well, and it's, you know, what's the line between justice and vengeance? And it definitely explores that. Do you guys feel like they really didn't have to put the Final Crisis banner on that?
They did if they wanted to sell more copies.
Yes.
And that's a good excuse to have a one-shot.
Is it a one-shot?
It is a one-shot.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's like resist or submit.
Yeah.
And they say it takes place.
Have those tie-ins been good quality? I mean,
I haven't read any of them.
The tie-ins have been resist.
Resist was fucking awesome this week.
Was that written by Greg Rucka?
Yeah.
And Eric Trautman.
Caveat. Hey, just a caveat.
Sook art on it.
Really?
I think it'll depend to see. I mean, not to say that they wouldn't throw the Final Crisis banner on something just to sell it. But it may, I mean, this may play out later, too. I mean, as far as Green Lantern thing going in, you know. I don't know. Who knows? It could have just simply been selling comics.
Shane Davis's art is dope in that issue, too.
It's better.
It's off the chain.
I mean,
Shane Davis.
I haven't been a
like on the Shane Davis bandwagon, but this is like the best I've seen of his.
He was really I thought he was really good in Captain Mystery Mystery in Space, but then when he did that one issue of
This seems less Jim Lee-ish to me.
Well, when he did Justice League, tried to do it like Bendis.
Well, he's kind of a that's what I mean. That's he's kind of a and I'm one to talk, but he's kind of a copycat as far as that. He kind of mimics whatever style of that book, and now you see it's kind of almost like a Van Sciver sort of
thing.
But I mean, it works for him. It's not them, but it's them.
Close enough that
I like it.
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, it was a solid issue, and really the Final Crisis one shots have all been good. I've enjoyed.
I need to be reading more of those.
Who's next?
Well, I tell you what, let's save them up for next.
Oh, can I tell my Hank's girlfriend story? Real quick.
Nick.
I mean Emma.
Real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, Emma.
Is this Ron's story? Yeah.
So we're at the Windy City Comic Con, pre-con, where they're Friday setting up, and Ron from iFanboy there, Ron Richards, and he's got his computer, and there's free Wi-Fi in the center, so he's online. And
Looking
up porn, and then he finds Hank's girlfriend on Facebook, not because he was looking up porn.
Why is he looking up his girlfriend on Facebook?
Just because Hank was there, and he
Ron's
was...
Ron's way too old.
Well, he...
It's not competing. It's not like...
he befriends her. He tries to befriend her on Facebook. And she texts Hank, "Who the fuck is Ron Richards? And why is he trying to befriend me?"
Is that, "Who the fuck is Ron Richards? Is he your uncle?"
That's awesome. And Ron felt very old at that moment in time.
I saw Ron age like 10 years. Like, right.
It was like a bucket of cold water.
The end
water.
Of Evil Dead 2 that looked like gray just shoots up his hair.
Like, no, I'm young. I'm virile. I'm fun. I'm going to see the Decemberists. Yeah. I'm him.
That makes you old.
I just thought that was funny. So thank you, Ron, for giving me a chuckle.
That's fine. All right. Hey, I want to tell everyone about Witchblade, the anime series, real quick. It is now available on DVD and for digital download.
What?
It is based on the comic book series from Top Cow Productions.
I've never heard of this.
The anime series goes into the future to tell the tale of a new bearer of the Witchblade and the conspiracy that surrounds her burden. The 24-episode series set featured wraparound box art by Mark Silvestri. The box set includes 100 minutes of extra features, including all you want to know about Top Cow with interviews and a tour. Witchblade is also available as a digital download, available on iTunes, PS3, PlayStation. It's kind of redundant, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Xbox and Amazon. Visit
Dub 64.
No.
But only with a huge update. You'd have to do.
Probably got a firm.
I got some issues with my my Blu-ray player, which we'll talk about later.
Lame.
Please visit www.funimation.com/Witchblade to view clips of the series and box art. Once again, that's www.funimation.com/Witchblade.
And they
sent me the set of Witchblade anime.
Oh.
And if you are a Witchblade fan or an anime fan.
You are a Witchblade fan.
I am a Witchblade fan.
Really?
And
I
stopped at 100, and I dropped it, and now I hear it's really good again, so I need to start reading
Witchblade.
Again.
Witchblade!
You know what I heard was really good?
What? Hmm.
I haven't read it yet, but Top Cow and Witchblade.
Darkness? Hester's Darkness.
Phil Hester's Darkness.
It's Hester, man.
That it's really good. You know who was telling me that he was surprised by it was Scotty, actually. I guess he had read it or something. Or maybe the first one was online, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that team of Hester and Parks, they both are pretty awesome writers.
Yeah.
I get the feeling they don't even want to draw anymore.
Well, Andy definitely wants to write more.
Yeah.
And right now he's in that rock and hard place of being so busy inking stuff and happy because he's got so much work, but he really wants to write. And Andy's a great hat guy.
Knee deep in that ink and tang.
Mm-hmm.
I sent him pages tonight.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Is it been
he's
officially
inking
announced?
Stories.
Oh, cool.
He He's been wanting to ink you for a long time.
Oh, that sounds... Whoa.
And I mean that in a completely heterosexual
way. I'd rather
way.
Him just buy me a hat.
But go check out Andy's blog, by the way. I think it's andyparks.blogspot.com. I forget, but just Google Andy Parks, and it's A-N-D-E, not A-N-D-Y, and he has a great blog. But he's actually been too busy to update it.
A lot of artwork I want to steal from him.
Oh, tons of artwork. I got I don't want to run too long here, but I do have an email, and I've been encouraging people to email the show.
Why?
So we're gonna read one because interaction is fun.
I prefer a one way conduit.
if you do wanna email us, you can do so at info@aroundcomics.com. And we have an email from Billy, and I hope we can answer this.
Scholarship winner.
How about Fresco?
I've been trying to recommend a miniseries to a friend, but I can't remember the title. It was a miniseries. It came out in the 2000s. It was about world.
My computer.
It was about World War I, but there were dragon riders and warlocks and magic and trolls and cool
Aerosmith.
Stuff.
Aerosmith.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Not like the band.
No,
A-R-O-W-S-M-I-C.
There you go.
From music Cross and Carlos Pacheco.
Yeah.
Crossjaw.
God damn, you do have that.
It's from Wildstorm
you
now.
You are a freaking encyclopedia.
I don't think very many issues came out of it, but there is a trade, I believe.
There is a trade of Aerosmith.
We should just start, you know, like a Tomopedia.
Finish this question, though. Maybe it's wrong. And at the end, the dragons fuck each other. That's not Aerosmith.
Whoa, wait, let me rethink that.
That's not Aerosmith.
That's exactly what he was asking.
Kirk Busiek.
And he says thanks. Also, and this is maybe something that Mike can answer, says, also, I'm a designer and would love to break into comics.
I'd like to ink my
What does it take?
I'll buy him a hat.
As someone who does trade covers and layouts and stuff like that, where's a good place to start?
Oh, he wants to get into comics doing that?
Doing like trade cover, trade dress.
Designing stuff?
Yeah.
The only way I know of doing that is like the way you get a job at any place doing that. I mean, you got to see if there's a position open.
Marry into it.
And that's more of a public...
Because they don't really... I mean, they have people on staff just like everybody else. I don't think they do much like freelance design.
Yeah, I would look at book publishers. And,
yeah.
Because honestly...
Maybe call Chip Kidd.
There you
go. Be able to tell you how to get in.
I mean, tell you to go fuck yourself.
Check the listings at Monster. You might get lucky.
No, I'm not saying that he doesn't want competition. I'm sure he's a good guy.
I don't think that's not quite like getting into comics drawing or inking.
But it's definitely part of the industry.
But you can, I mean, like I said, check Monster listings. Sometimes you get editorial positions on there and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Give me a consistent trade dress, damn it! All right, thank you, Billy, and we got a buttload
of.
Enjoy
Aerosmith, my friend.
That's the only email.
It's a good
we're running a little long. We've got several emails for next week. We will get to those and talk more comics. I want to remind everyone as we are entering the giving season, holiday season is coming up. That we are still.
You can't be talking about Christmas, man. Come on, it's not even
Thanksgiving.
Listen,
bro.
Come on. Hey, but you know what? It's never too early to give to the Hero Initiative.
Oh, okay.
And we haven't talked about Hero in quite a while. Cool. And I want to remind everyone that this is
Hanukkah is coming up too.
It's always a good time to give to Hero, but in the economic crisis that we're in right now, it makes it even harder on folks that are on fixed incomes and folks that are having a lot of problems.
Hey, man, it
doesn't start until January, baby.
Oh yeah,
so,
Medicaid.
We should probably rob them before then.
If you didn't know, the Hero Initiative.
He's in his pajamas right now.
The Hero Initiative creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support, and essentials for life. And they also need an avenue back into paying work. And Hero is a chance for all of us to give back something to the people that have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, you can go to heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. And if you're an Around Comics listener, it's really easy to donate any amount to the Hero Initiative just by going to aroundcomics.com. We have a Hero Initiative donate button, meant like $3, the price of one comic book. And it does more good
$3.99.
Yeah, it's $4. $4. Keeping up with inflation or deflation, whatever it is. All right. I also want to mention We had an Around Comics LCS challenge. Steven emailed us this week, said that he had put up a flyer for Around Comics at Gem Comics in Elmhurst.
In Elmhurst, my old comic shop.
We used to go there over lunchtime and shop at Gem Comics.
Why didn't you guys put a
I haven't been there in years. I haven't shot there in forever.
Yeah, it was probably... It was
just kind of shocking. Or not shocking, so, but it was...
I'm waiting for someone to come in here and try and put a poster up.
Do we even have the flyers on the website anymore?
Yeah, they're still up there.
Okay. Just go to the website, and we've got the LCS challenge, and if you want to download a flyer, put it up in a comic shop, and let us know, and we'll mention you,
Gloria,
just like Steven and
the owner of Gem. She's been there a long time.
That's a nice little shop.
Yes, it is. I used to shop there for many years.
All right, we'd like to thank everyone for leaving us an iTunes review in the last few weeks since we were on a little hiatus. Starting off with Sector 3601, Malakili. And number one, Malakili, something like that. And number one human being. Thank you, folks. We really appreciate it.
Being or being?
Being.
Not a human being.
I'm a human being.
Want to remind everyone, Tom versus the Flash, a couple times a week, right?
Yeah, like twice, three times. I did three this week for the first time. I felt like since I said that, I should do it.
Nice. So there you go, Tom versus the Flash. Great walk through DC history, one issue at a time. What's next after the Flash?
I will probably, I'll be done.
Legion?
It's going to take me like a year or two to get to Legion. I won't give the Legion fans a satisfaction.
How about Wonder Woman?
Some 2000 AD.
There's some funny shit in Wonder Woman.
It's almost too much, though. It's almost like it'd be like, you should just read it. I can encourage
I think Wonder Woman could be pretty good.
That would be good. I'm on 11 o'clock comics every Friday. I think they've been coming out on Fridays now. It's myself, Vince B., David Price, and Wood.
It's like a trip back in a
Mike
time
Mike and I are starting a podcast.
Yep.
To a simpler time.
What are we?
We talk about when comics were good.
The Angry Jerks podcast.
Angry
the big scary guys that are really nice.
The thing is, it's just so late when we record, and I get cranky.
It's past my
bedtime.
And you're drunk.
11 in the morning.
And
speaking of drinking, now twice.
But I'm never invited on that show, so.
You know what?
I wouldn't know what it would be like.
We'll get you.
I haven't been invited.
I may just have you sit in. But speaking of drinking, now twice a month, I've scaled things back at ifanboy.com. I'm doing comic shots twice a month now just for my own mental well-being.
What are you going to do one with Miller High Life?
Or Jack Daniels.
What kind of comic
in camo
goes
there? There will never be
all
a Jack
them.
Daniels.
Oh, there will be. Oh, my God. Oh, I swear, I'm going to get some Jack Daniels.
I was telling Sal the next one I'm doing is going to be called a Blue Cobra.
Blue
Cobra for G.I. Joe?
You'll have to read in a couple weeks.
Fancy lad drinks. If they don't come with a plastic ringer around it, I don't want to drink it.
Camouflage aluminum can. So check that out every couple weeks at ifanboy.com. But go to ifanboy.com every day. It's a great site. All right. Let's wrap this puppy up. I would like to thank everyone for being here. Hank and Mike and Tom and Sal.
You're welcome.
For hosting us.
We like
And once again, everyone that made it to the Windy City Comic Con. I forgot to give a special Bean Lynch from the forum.
Prince.
I have the prints at my house. And he worked
cool.
his ass off to get those outputted. And,
that was very nice of him.
They were
thanks to everybody involved. Yeah. Thanks to all the creators, all the vendors, everybody that showed up,
all the
volunteers.
Yeah. Our volunteers were awesome.
It really was.
God.
Thank God.
Barack Obama.
Buddha.
Barack Obama,
thank you for allowing us.
Right, to thank the fire marshals for not showing up.
The center.
Over capacity.
The people at the center were great.
Mm-hmm.
Like to thank Billie Jean King.
Whole Foods for giving Hank that special piece of pizza that I requested he get.
So did that ruin homecoming for you?
Yeah.
It was great. So,
wow.
Yeah. Very cool.
Next year, bigger and better.
Oh, God.
Dance movie.
Lots of fun. So we'll have an announcement about a date right after the first of the year, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So
we'll figure it out.
Yep.
We're definitely going to be doing it again. It's just a matter of when and
what the date is and who's going to be there. So we still have so much Chicago talent that can be there
that blew us off this year.
But they know we mean business now.
Alex Ross.
We're calling you out.
Talking to you, Tony Aikens. Tony Aikens was there all day long. Yeah. Just
that's his style.
Out.
I yelled at him. Yeah, he blows in, stays, sticks around for 6 or 7 hours, blows out.
Man, you
that's
can't,
Tony Aikens.
You can't capture that wind. No. What are you going to do?
All right. Well, hey,
Tony
folks.
Aikens not in motion ain't Tony Aikens.
thanks for having the patience while we were on a couple-week hiatus. It's nice to be back and recharged. We will be back next week with another full-length episode. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere and around comics.
Why does it smell like a head shop in here?
I don't know. Yeah, no kidding.
Before that, the bathroom was making it not smell like a head shop in here.
I see.
Oh, nice.
Nice comic job.
Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.